This week, we're continuing a series of thumbnail sketches with people who've announced their candidacy for Spokane City Council seats. This is an interview with me, Rebecca White, and candidate Tyler LeMasters. He's one of two candidates who's running for Spokane City Council District 2 in South Spokane. This interview has been edited for length and clarity. You can find more City Council interviews on SpokanePublicRadio.org. You know, thank you for being here. And just to start out, I'm asking every City Council candidate just to tell me a little bit about yourself and why you're running.
Yeah, well, first off, thank you, Rebecca, for having me on the show. Really appreciate it. My name is Tyler LeMasters. I've been in this community for the last 15 years. It has been great. It's not the home I was born into, but it is the home that I chose because I'm part of a military family, and so I spent most of my life moving around. But Spokane is just a beautiful place. I fell in love with the people here, and yeah, the community is just—it's a perfect city. It really is. Spokane is a perfect city to me. Geography, the industrial feel of the downtown, how kind everyone is, and so yeah, you know, I have been here, and I did real estate for a while. I worked in the House of Representatives, representing Eastern Washington for a while. Handled small business policy portfolio as well as nonprofits. Animal rights, religious issues, those kinds of things, just on legislation. And yeah, also spent some time in China with my wife. So, yeah.
And just to clarify, you mean U.S. House of Representatives, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. So okay. I worked in Washington, D.C., just handling legislation.
And that was that for Kathy McMorris Rodgers?
Yes, that was for Congresswoman Kathy McMorris Rodgers.
And so just to get started on the policy questions I have, you know, the first one I really want to dive into with every candidate is economic recovery. So as you probably know, our economy has taken a pretty serious hit during the pandemic with a lot of people unemployed and businesses closing and, you know, difficulties buying food or paying rent. What should our city probably be doing to help both our community and our economy really get back on their feet?
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting challenge. And I think in a lot of ways, we could be overly critical of the council and think that some issues are their fault when it's actually COVID's fault, you know, which is out of their control. That being said, though, I mean, if a bad decision was made by our city council, it is now amplified. And we're seeing that with housing, homelessness, small business. All their bad decisions have been amplified, and we can see the flaw in the policies. And so, you know, recovery is the same as good times. We just need to have sound policies that you know, protect our housing market, which we have a housing crisis right now. Hopefully we can talk about that a little more. You know, we need to address homelessness in a way that's effective and compassionate. And, you know, we have to protect our small businesses from regulations and extra burdens of taxes. I mean, we've had 125 plus failures in the last year, small business failures. So, yeah, you know, I think basically it's just the same as in a healthy economy. Good policy is good policy.
And whether it be sort of, you know, how the city distributes its stimulus or looks at property taxes, what is maybe an example of a policy that you think could really boost economic recovery?
Yeah, well, I think one of the main things right now is we are in a housing crisis. There are a lot of people moving to Spokane. It's creating a low inventory. But the reality is we've had a low inventory. And as a realtor, I can speak to this. We've had a low inventory for almost 8 years now. And we've been crying out to the city council to address it because their zoning regulations make it impossible for development in Spokane. That's why we see the West Plains booming. That's why we see Spokane Valley and Liberty Lake and even Cheney. Just they're booming with apartment complexes and new condos and new construction, but it's not enough to keep up with the demand because Spokane is the heart of the community. And the city council has created zoning laws that don't allow for density, don't allow for mixed use, don't allow for innovation, creativity. You know, this just cripples our economy. It cripples our economy. we have to allow people, we have to allow the free market to take its course and allow our community to grow in a way that's healthy and beautiful and diverse, encouraging the arts and encouraging business, small businesses. So I think a lot of it comes down to how we zone for housing and for businesses.
And you did, I think, briefly mention this in kind of some of your comments answering questions earlier, but one of my other big questions that I think is the focus of several campaigns is homelessness. You know, our current city council and this mayor, and I think maybe the previous, has been criticized pretty heavily for how they've addressed homelessness. And I think one of the biggest criticism that they get almost every week is that when it gets cold and it looks like it could have some dangerous conditions, there's just really a scramble to find enough shelter beds to make sure everyone has a safe place to go. If you were a city council member, how would you maybe be a little bit more proactive?
Yeah, I mean, you said it. There's been complete failure from the city council to address our homeless issue, our homeless population. You know, Spokane is a very compassionate place. It's a very compassionate place. We have such compassionate people. We care about these people who are having serious drug issues and violent family backgrounds, you know, mental health issues. We care about these things. And so, you know, they've exploited our compassion by running on homelessness. But now we have the results of almost 10 years of consistent homeless policies, and we can see that they are not working. I don't think that they lack compassion, the city council, but I do think that results matter when it comes to compassion. It's not enough to just be compassionate, especially when you're in the position of the council. It's your job to take that compassion and turn it into results for our homeless community. And the reality is the policies that they've initiated, they don't help our homeless population, and they also kill small businesses downtown. And so the places where homeless people might be employed, if they can get to that place after recovery and counseling and therapy and love that we can give them, you know, there's no jobs for them anyways, because we've centralized all the services in one place. You know, it is so crazy, not just to me, but to Spokies, as I call them, you know, our community, that we put all the services in one place. We have to decentralize these services, and we have to be efficient with the funds that we're given, with the taxpayer dollars that we're given. Those are the two main things. I will say that this issue is very complex, and so I will make no promises about some fix-all solution. That would be naive, and I think people in Spokane need to realize that, because there are people out there on the council who tout their achievements as if they are solving homelessness. And I think we are a long ways from that right now.
And so, you know, I guess if you could maybe have a policy that would improve the situation, is there sort of you mentioned an issue with centralizing services? One thing that could maybe, or an evidence-backed solution that could maybe address our homeless problem a little better than it is being addressed right now?
Yeah. I mean, specifically, it's these two things that I'm talking about. First, we need to be more efficient with the funds. If programs are failing to help our homeless population rehabilitate, re-enter society, to help them with what they need, even if it's just a bed for the night, then we need to take a hard look at those programs and divert those funds to areas that are working. We have a lot of proven programs in Spokane for homelessness that have high success rates, but we veer away from those and lean on these other ones. So the first thing, that's efficiency. And we have to decentralize. That's the second thing. We have to decentralize. Putting people who are all in the same situation, the same demographic, the same histories with drugs and family, unfortunate family situations, mental health, putting them all in the same place, that's not how people find success. My mom always told me, you are the company that you keep, you know, and people who build wealth, they know that you build wealth by spending time around people who can kind of teach you how to do that. They can teach you how to hold a job. They can teach you how to have healthy relationships and make good decisions. But instead, we've just decided we would clump everyone in one spot and kill the downtown, which is the heart of our city.
Okay, so moving kind of things a little bit in different parts of the community instead of just downtown.
Yeah, and specifically out of the downtown area. There is no good reason to have all of our services in downtown.
And I did have a question. You know, you mentioned affordable housing a couple times in our conversation so far. You know, I think that people on really both sides of the political spectrum have really been raising the alarm about the housing, excuse me, the housing crisis in our region. So, what should our city be doing to address the need for affordable housing?
Well, it's really not, this is one of the easiest things. Homelessness is a very complex issue. It's complicated. It's hard to fix. Small businesses and regulations, that's fairly difficult too. But housing is the answer that I can say definitively is very easy to fix. All we have to do is open up to the free market and allow developers to meet the need and the demands on our housing market. We need attainable housing at every price point. Attainable is the key word there. If you're a first-time home buyer, you should be able to get into a home, but that's impossible right now. We have almost $100,000 on average up home prices over the last 2 years. I mean, that bar to enter into the housing market is getting higher and higher and higher, and home ownership is the number one way that Americans build wealth. So what the city council has done, and they are directly responsible for this. There's nobody else responsible for this. They have made it impossible for developers to come in to build condos, entry-level condos, to build single-family homes, to take our space downtown and convert some of those buildings into living. We should change zoning, and I will change zoning on the lower South Hill, that's south of 7th, off of Sprague. We're close to the Sprague Initiative. There's a lots of area down there for development in downtown as well. We just have to make way for multi-use, for more single family, for more condos. I mean, if I can, I know I'm being a little long-winded here, but you know, when I say housing at every price point, we have older couples who are ready to downsize and they have nowhere to go. And any realtor can tell you this. Older couples, they want single family homes that's on one level so they don't have to go up and down stairs. They want maybe 14 to 1500 square feet, and there's nothing for them. And they're willing to pay $800,000, $900,000 for that. But they can't. That's just one example. I mean, we've got first time home buyers, we've got older couples trying to downsize, we've got people who are trying to accommodate their growing families. And the city council has choked up all of this. They've created the need for affordable housing downtown. They've created a need for dependence on them. It's very sad, and it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy, and it hurts poor families the most. It hurts low-income people. It hurts minorities the most. These policies are borderline racist.
And so I guess just to break down some potential solutions. So when it comes to the lack of single family, is that it's like smaller lot sizes, or I guess what are some easy, maybe, or I don't know if easy is the right word, but maybe straightforward fixes to sort of the lack of you know, a single family size that maybe an older couple could buy to downsize.
The thing is, the brunt of the responsibility shouldn't fall on someone like myself. There's only seven council members. And so we can't expect seven council members to go out and dictate, okay, put a single family here, make this lot smaller, make this lot bigger. Oh, we want some condos here. That's not the job of city council. But we should be making sure that we get out of the way of the free market, out of the way of developers. They will build anything as long as they can make money, and the demand is there. and we have demand in every price point in our market. And so if we clear the way, if we say, hey, this acre lot here, you can do anything you want with it. You can build, I don't know, 10 luxury condos. You could build two high-end houses. You could build tiny homes here. Why are we so far behind on innovation and diversity in our construction? It's just because of city council. They're stuck in this mindset where the only thing that they can imagine someone is a single family home on 0.3 acres. That's all that they can imagine. We need that fresh perspective in the council. They are behind the times.
And so one, I know this has come up, every city council I've ever covered has had this issue, is there is a kind of a group of people in every community that are single family homeowners that are really opposed to, you know, multifamily housing going up in their neighborhood, or just sort of any, I guess, density coming in. And so you're probably going to be faced with that if you do sort of let developers have a little more freedom. And I guess, well, how would you respond to someone with those types of concerns?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I'm glad you asked that, because I'm excited to kind of clarify that. I'm a South Hill guy. I live up on 15th and Freya. Anyone can come by anytime. And, you know, I understand. Like, people in the South Hill, not in my backyard. That's how they feel. But that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about, you know, changing areas around Manitou Park. You know, we don't have the infrastructure for that. And infrastructure is important if you're going to consider higher density areas. But what I am talking about is areas that can be developed. We have so many undeveloped areas that are primed for this, that the infrastructure is already there. Like I said, like the lower South Hill, downtown itself, you know, off the Sprague Initiative. There's enough in just those three areas to sustain our growth now. To create higher density for the lower price points, you know, first-time home buyers or renters or those kinds of things. Yeah, I think that's a great question, you know, because people are worried, you know, when they hear what I'm saying, they're worried, oh, he's going to allow people to build, you know, a high rise over my house. No, definitely not. These are areas that have boarded up houses, you know, abandoned lots. We still have space in Spokane. We still have space.
We're getting a little shorter on time, so I'm going to get to my next question, which is public safety. You know, as a city council member, you'll have a say in the police department's budget, how many officers they hire, purchasing militarized equipment, or maybe if they hire more mental health crisis responders. So should we be investing in more policing and equipment, or is now the time we should really be looking at alternatives?
I think, first off, I want to say thank yous to our police officers. You know, they do a great job here. I think they would be the first to tell you that there's always room for improvement in anything that we do. And we can always become better at policing. You know, I think their role is constantly evolving. And, you know, we do need to take a look at what is happening in the police force is a cry from people, and this is America. So when people cry out, it's best to listen to them. That's how this system works. But you know, this whole notion of defunding the police, I think it's irresponsible, and it's irresponsible for the city council to back the defund the police movement. I mean, we have one of the highest crime rates in the country. Spokane is not a overly safe place in certain areas. And they would support that. And I honestly, I don't think that they really support defunding the police. I think they're saying that because they think that's where the movement is going. Case in point, they had no problem, you know, approving $400,000-$500,000, for new Teslas for the police force. I don't think they're really for defunding the police. But yeah, there's, yeah.
I haven't heard the city council like formally vote or make a lot of statements about fully defunding the police that I can recall. Maybe like talking about looking at things differently, but I'm not sure if I've heard any city council members say we want to defund the police.
I would disagree with you there. I would say that they have been vocal in support of the defund the police movement. and supportive of organizations that are supportive of defund the police. And I mean, feel free to ask them, you know, but yeah, they're not pro our police. And, you know, it's sad. It's like my whole life, the police have been police and firefighters and military. They've been, they're in a service industry. They're serving our communities and they're trying to do the best that they can. And now we want to demonize them for some reason. And I think it's irresponsible. I think it's irresponsible. And I think it's not community minded. These people are part of our community. So
one thing you will have an opportunity to do, though, with policing is I know that there is, they've already hired some. There's teams that are like co-crisis responders that go with police officers. And I feel like even from people like police officers themselves have said that maybe we need a few more tools to deal with some of the challenging like mental health and maybe drug situations that they run into now. Do you think maybe they need a little bit more resources or tools to approach these types of situations?
Yeah, you know, just like I said earlier, the police force is always evolving and any organization is always evolving to meet the needs. And so I'm looking forward to working with them to figure out how best to address those needs. Yeah, I think that's important.
And then my last question is environmental policy. You know, in a couple of different ways, the city council has recently tried to, you know, support some environmental policies, like, you know, purchasing electric vehicles, that has conversations about water usage and planting more trees. If you're elected, would you support those efforts, or are there other things our city council should or maybe shouldn't be doing when it comes to, you know, how we look at our environment?
Yeah. You know, Rebecca, I have put a lot of thought into the environment and pollution and what we're doing to our world. Me and my wife spent a year in China, and I got to tell you, it was a real eye opener to see what we're doing collectively to the world. I mean, I'd walk out of my house and you could see particles, air particles in front of your hand, from your face to your hand. Days where the air quality would be in the 400s for weeks on end, you know, and it was just an eye opener to see a country that you know, is burning coal but doesn't have any coal cleaning properties like we do here in the U.S. To see them run air conditioning units that just dump into the atmosphere, the construction that goes on there. And so, you know, it was there. I guess what I'm trying to say is it was there that I realized that we do have a serious problem, you know. But I also think that Americans and people in Spokane really care about protecting the environment. I don't fully understand why it's been such a point of contention and division. And I think that we could really find some unity on this, because conservatives tend to really enjoy the outdoors. Conservatives tend to live in areas that are more rural. That's just a fact, you know. More rural communities tend to be more conservative. They love the outdoors, you know, they're stewards of the outdoors. And then people who are more on the liberal side tend to live in cities, but they are very passionate about taking care of the environment. And so, you know, I think this is something that everyone can get behind. We also, though, as a council member, you have to be mindful of budget, right? I mean, I'm just not a fan of spending money that we don't have. I think you have to be fiscally conservative. And so we'll be finding creative ways to do that while being fiscally conservative to, you know, protect the environment. Listen, I want to plant as many trees as we can. I hope they call me the tree guy when I get out of the council. I mean, we need to beautify our downtown area and a lot of our main thoroughfares, like we did on Monroe Street and like we did on Sprague.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got about a minute left. And the last thing I'm trying to let every candidate sign off with is just maybe if you could talk for just a little bit about, you know, maybe why, compared to your opponent, you're the best choice for District 3 and what you really bring to the table.
District 1.
I apologize.
District 2. Yeah. So for City Council District 2, on the South Hill, downtown, and Brown's Addition, you know, I think personally, I feel like I'm not running against anyone in particular. I feel like I'm running against the City Council as a whole. The reality is The city council has failed. They have failed in every policy aspect they've attempted. And so we just need a fresh perspective. We need a fresh perspective. And honestly, if it's not me, it should be someone else. But there's no way that it would make sense to reelect anybody in office right now. Six out of seven of them, just because, yeah, because it's just a complete failure. And, you know, I'm ready to try some new things. I hope that people can hear what I'm saying. And, you know, I'm talking fast and I'm getting impassioned. But the bottom line is I love this community. I love the people here, and I hear their voice, and they want something new, something different. We want to show compassion to people. We want to fix our housing market. We want to help homeless people. You know, we want to help small businesses, but we gotta do something different. And I'm the fresh perspective, and I'm happy to be that.
Okay. Well, I've got to go, but thank you so much for your time, and I appreciate you taking a few minutes this morning to talk to me.
Thank you. We appreciate you. And yeah, thanks for putting this together.